Why should I pick Penn State? I mean, we talk about James Franklin getting over that hump, man. Ohio State at home, same old story. Run it back one more time. They can't shake these guys, man. It's like syphilis in the 1800s. You ain't getting rid of it, dog. Welcome home to Crane & Company. Thanks for making us a daily watch or listen. We really appreciate you guys. We love putting out this content. We love the game like you guys do. And it's really awesome to see the amount of attention that it gets. And even when we disagree, I think dissent moves us forward. And it's great for the sport. So we got another prediction. Single team, 12-game, regular season prediction. We've done two SEC teams so far. If you haven't checked them out, we did Alabama on Monday. We did Georgia on Tuesday. And today, we are venturing over to the waters of the Big Ten.
Speaking of the waters.
Former Michigan quarterback David Cone to my left. Blaine Crane, former Western State Colorado wide receiver to my right. And that Big Ten team is the Ohio State Buckeyes. Coming off a national championship. Coming off a great run, obviously, in the college football playoff.
Great run.
Ryan Day really flipping the script after yet another loss to Michigan. And before we get into it, guys, just want to remind the viewers, this is a regular season prediction. So 12 games. We're going to get to who makes the playoff. We're going to get to who we think wins the national championship and the Heisman here a little bit down the road. But today we are focusing on the Buckeyes, the defending champs. David Cone, as we usually do on these predictions with Ohio State, give me one thing you feel really good about. Give me another thing you may be slightly a little less confident.
Well, I've been saying throughout the offseason that when the Buckeyes take the field on either side of the ball, they're probably going to run the best football player out on the field. Now, we know the game of football takes more than just one great guy, but when you talk about having Jeremiah Smith on offense and you have Caleb Downs on defense, both those guys are so versatile and can solve so many problems. If there are any other deficiencies on offense or on defense, like starting a new quarterback and those types of things, those guys can make up for that so well. And so I'm really excited to see what sort of leadership they bring. And that takes me to one part that I'm questioning, not so much concern, but I have a question is, when you win the national championship, and you send 14 players to the NFL. I mean, this ties a program record. They had 4 first-round selections last year. And I know that this is a type of program that just reloads at all these important positions, 5 stars running all the way around. Is there any complacency at all? Ryan Day finally getting over that hump. Two new coordinators. Is there any complacency at all that, hey, we finally were able to capture what we were going for, winning a national championship? Did they let off the gas at all?
Well, if they had beaten Michigan last year, I think maybe. I think maybe there's a little.
They'll have plenty of fire for that game.
No, for sure. But, I mean, as far as not manufacturing a chip on the shoulder, because you don't have to manufacture that one at all, I think that's going to be, you know, we won the Natty last year, but you look at what happened during the regular season. You did lose 2 games. It wasn't like you just ran through everybody, beat the hell out of everybody, and now you're going to try and find a way to get the guys as fired up about it. I think it's almost that perfect balance.
I hope you're right because I hope the rivalry still means that much to them.
I think
the narrative that's come out post-national championship is, well, that game doesn't matter anymore. We won the national championship. What do we care about?
Well, it's because they lost it.
Yeah. Exactly. I hope what you're saying is right.
Well, where I'm confident, and to your point, David, when you look at it, and again, a lot of people are going to focus on Jeremiah Smith. I get it. He's unbelievable what he did as a freshman. We just don't physically, the gifts that he has. And I think the maturity he has as well. Caleb Downs coming back on the other end. That's going to be the guy that gets talked about mostly on the defense. But when I look at the supporting cast around those guys, when you look at Carnell Tate, when you look at that, the wide receiver room that Ohio State has around him, there are no answers defensively. It's not like, all right, well, we'll bracket Jeremiah Smith and nobody else is going to beat us. Any of those guys, it could be a kill shot at any point in time. You can't double everybody. And then you look at the running back room. I think them getting C.J. Donaldson to come over, I think he's a fantastic back. I don't think enough people are talking about that. Where I'm a little bit, Blaine, I don't want to say concerned, but intrigued, I think is a better way to put it, is how aggressive will Brian Hartline be with Julian saying early against a team like Texas coming to town, and how talented that defense is, right? Or is he going to just open up the whole playbook? And I say the same thing for Arch Manning and with Steve Sarkisian, the amount of pre-snap motions and things they do at Texas. Brian Hartline, again, a lot of guys call plays based on the position that they played. Well, Brian Hartline was a wide receiver.
Yeah.
Does that mean they're going to come in here and just sling the ball? We got to get it to Jeremiah Smith this amount of times. I wonder if it's going to be, you know, an exciting, let's spread it around, get it out there early, trust Julian Sayin, or will it be a let me test you up front and then let's see what Julian Sayin can do off that if we can get a run game going. The coaching element of it to me is
well,
because we just don't know.
If you're going to ask me what I'm confident in when it comes to Ohio State, I mean, I'm going to have to echo exactly what you said. I promise you, when it comes to Brian Hartline and Ohio State, their receiver room is an absolute problem. Not only their receiver room, but they're tied in. They just brought in from
Max Clair.
I think we'll be in the running for one of the best tight ends.
He could win the Mackey
in college football for sure. My question is, it's kind of the same on your point, but it's on the other side. I mean, you lose a guy like Jim Knowles, who's been at Ohio State forever. You feel like you knew exactly what that Ohio State defense was about.
You bring in Matt Patricia.
How they played. You bring in Matt Patricia. It's going to be a little, you lost so many people to the draft. Are they going to be talented? Absolutely. Does Caleb Downs get better the closer he gets to the line of scrimmage? Absolutely. But I'm see how Matt Patricia adjusts to coaching this Ohio State defense and what they look like schematically coming out. Where's his fire pressures? What coverage does he like the most? And how they really act against Texas? Because, you know, with the talent that they have and the DBs they have, if I'm Matt Patricia, look, it's going to be a lot of two-man with me.
Yeah.
A lot of two-man.
Oh, on third down, if it's third down at more than five, it's a two-man
on the coordinator standpoint, not on the offensive side of the ball, because I know what Brian Hartline is going to do. I'd do the same thing. I'd throw it to Jeremiah Smith 40 times. But how is the Ohio State defense going to look this year with a new guy at the
helm? Well, there's two ways to look at it with Matt Patricia to me, David. And I want to see if you agree with these points. On the positive side, none of these guys have coached against Matt Patricia's defense before. So you do have that element of surprise, tendencies you don't really know, how mixed of a bag is it? And you know how talented the players are. Like, I've seen coaches that aren't great look amazing because of great players, and I've seen vice versa. I've seen really good coaches look bad because you didn't have the players. They're going to have the players. But on the negative side, one thing that I've seen, and this is on offense and defense for NFL coaches that are coming back down, is they overcomplicate things. Because in the NFL, all you do is football. There is no class. There is none of this other stuff going on. And the amount of time you have to install things and have checks on checks on checks like Richie Rich, you can do that because that's literally their job. And I know people say, well, the NIL, it's their job now. Still got to go to class. So do you think there's a possibility that maybe Matt Patricia could overcomplicate things a little bit, which negates some talent and athleticism from the personnel on defense?
Look, Matt Patricia was an NFL head coach. The guy's forgotten more football than I've ever known. I'm not criticizing or questioning his football acumen, but I think you are bringing up an important point. And look, it did kind of get weird in the NFL. I mean, he was a head coach, and that didn't really work out, but he was a defensive coordinator for Bill Belichick. But then he was an offensive coordinator, and then that was kind of weird. And so I think this is a good opportunity for him to redeem himself. But Jim Knowles was one of the best DCs in the country for a reason.
And he goes to Penn State,
who's supposed to have one of the best rosters in the country. Too, with a returning quarterback, this narrative just gets more and more fascinating. And while we're talking about coordinators, I'll give you my thoughts 1 second on Brian Hartline, who we met at the White House when we went up there, by the way. He was at Ohio when I was at Michigan. They had a great run against us. He reminded me of that. They really did. But it's all well and good to say, hey, the game plan's easy. Just get it to Jeremiah Smith 40 times a game. Let's not forget that Chip Kelly dialed up some crucial plays. He solved a lot of problems for the Buckeyes last year whenever they would encounter them. I'm talking about games at Oregon, games against Penn State. Chip Kelly's play calling really got Will Howard to have full command of that offense and score when they really needed it to. That's easier said than it is done.
All right, so let's get into the schedule. In the comments, we want to know, what do you have Ohio State's regular season record? If you want to put, if they're national champions, that's great. You put whatever you want. Again, without you guys, there is no us. But this is our regular season game-by-game picks. We will get to who makes the playoff. We will get to who wins the Natty and wins the Heisman on a later date before the season. But guys, what a game to start off with.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a rematch of the national semifinal last year against Texas. Remember Quinn Ewers' former roommate, Jack Sawyer, strip sack, fumble recovery, runs it all the way back to the house, one of the exciting whites from last year. And now Ohio State gets them at home. to start off with Julian Sain, who we just hadn't seen. You just don't know yet. You've heard a lot of great things. You hear great things from Alabama fans where he transferred, going up against Arch Manning. Game day is going to be there. All eyes will be focused on Columbus. This and LSU Clemson, I think we can go ahead and say, are the two biggest matchups. We can debate which game will be better. But when I look at this one, I know Texas is going to be pissed off and want revenge. They kept him out of the natty last year. But everybody's talking about Arch, right? And I get it. It's a firebrand. You don't hear a ton about Julian Sain right now. You really don't. And I think at the end of the day, neither one of these quarterbacks goes off. I don't think either of them has an amazing game. Again, I think this can be more conservative early from a play calling standpoint. And this game could be low scoring. I'm probably going to take the under if the number is right coming out early. But I do think Ohio State at home finds a way to win this game. Somebody makes a heroic play, whether it's Jeremiah Smith, whether it's Carnell Tate, whether it's Max Clair. I've got Ohio State starting off 1-0, winning back-to-back games now against Texas and really vaulting them and maybe solidifying some thoughts about this team and nullifying some thoughts about their maybe complacent factor that you brought up. Give me Ohio State week 1 at home.
Mm. I've gone back and forth on this game for about 8 weeks now.
Yeah.
If it were in Austin, I think I would take Texas. And there is this idea that I was talking about before where the Buckeyes sent 14 players to the NFL draft. You won the national championship. Is there any amount of complacency? But let's not forget, Texas sent what, 13? Or maybe even 14 themselves. Like, they sent a lot of players to the NFL. They're having to reload at a lot of positions, including at quarterback themselves. And you're going on the road. I've played in the Horseshoe, man. It's one of the toughest environments in the country for a reason. As we sit here right this second in early August, I'm going to take the home team Buckeyes.
All right, Blaine, where do you stand? Hook them. Horns up, baby. Horns up. A couple of reasons. One, I think there's been a lot of change when it comes to Ohio State. You lose both coordinators. New quarterback, and I think that somewhat takes time to get used to. Steve Sarkisian is still calling the plays over there at Texas. And I think, one, Anthony Hill, Colin Simmons, their secondary, I think, makes huge plays. Caleb Downs, great piece. All the talent. There's plenty of blue-chip talent at Ohio State. I think the playmakers on defense for Texas get after Julian Sain. Maybe a strip sack touchdown, maybe a pick six. But I think Texas wins this game 27-21.
The change factor does worry me because that's a real thing. And they're really wholesale changes. We talk about, you know, got players just going to the NFL. Well, you look at the coaches. You talk about both coordinators, including Jim Knowles. And I sit here and I think maybe one of the most underrated players in this game will be Michael Taft coming back for Texas. Mm-hmm. Not that he's the most athletic or he's going to be the first guy that's drafted, but making sure they're organized in the back end on the road and things like that. But you look at Michael Taft and you're like, hey, that guy's going to keep him organized. He's going to be a great player. Well, when you compare him to the other guy on
the other side
is Caleb freaking Downs. Yep. And then you got guys like Sonny Styles and those things they have running around on that Ohio State defense. But again, another little worry of mine, and I think you're going to see Sark test the metal early on this. We've talked about, even in our preview we did with Ohio State with J.D. Pickell, is the interior of that Ohio State defensive line. How are they going to hold up? And is that going to have to draw Caleb down more in the box, where then Sark gets you with the motions, gets you with the play action, finds a way, whether it's on switch releases or whatever down the field, to be able to dial up some big plays. That is a concern.
Did it on the road against Michigan and Wink Martindale
last year. Watched him do it against Bama, too, a couple years ago as well with Quinn Ewers. So you have Texas. We both have Ohio State. The next week, Ohio State gets to murder Grambling, which
it'll be 10-3 in the second quarter.
And they'll win.
Then it'll be
65-3.
No, Ohio State is going to drown Grambling in a small puddle of water. We all agree there. Next weekend, they play Ohio, Cone, which you refer to Ohio State as Ohio. The Bobcats, shout out Frank Solich, not there anymore. We got a lot of respect for him. They're going to beat their ass, too. So, like, we can sit here and have fun and eat up a little bit of time talking about how bad we think.
I would rather just waste my time.
Move on.
They're going to win their bye week, too.
They'll win the bye week next, though. I tell you.
Something smells a little funny about it.
Haven't heard the name Damon Williams,
dog,
the quarterback at Washington, this guy is the closest thing to Nick Marshall that I have seen with the small sample size. He is slippery. He's got witch ability. Can he consistently throw the ball? And he doesn't have to be Troy Aikman or Peyton Manning. You just have to throw it good enough for it to be a threat. So I really like Damon Williams, the quarterback for Washington. But it's everything else. Again, Boston at wide receiver, NFL guy. I think he's going to be a stud in the NFL. I just don't think, even at home, and even with what the respect I have for Jed Fish, I just don't think Washington has enough. It's going to be a crazy atmosphere. You look at their schedule, they should be undefeated. They're going to be coming off that rivalry game against Wazoo. They got to go to Pullman to play them there, but John Mateer ain't there anymore. So you're probably going to have a 3-0 Washington versus a 3-0 Ohio State. I think this game is close throughout. I think it's close throughout, but Ohio State finds a way just because they have more. Not that Washington doesn't have enough, but Ohio State just has more. I think this is a Jeremiah Smith game.
So Damon Williams plays a different style of football than Will Rogers. Is that what you're saying?
They could not. This is basically the difference in between living in North Korea and Portland, Oregon.
That's like that Dave Chappelle episode where they trade wives.
Yeah, it's a wife swap.
Portland's kind of, well, never mind. I'll keep that to myself. Anyway.
As football season is basically here, we know you're going to be tailgating. You may be chilling at the house, firing up the grill, whether it's wings, whether it's burgers, whether it's steak, whatever. When you're going to source your meat, you need to use our friends over at Good Ranchers. They're always a part of our game day barbecues. I mean, heck, even when it's not football season, they've been feeding our families for the past 3 years. And they source their meat. It's 100% American. All right, with all cuts coming directly from local farms and ranches. When you choose Good Ranchers, that means supporting both our community and American ranchers while enjoying premium cuts that bring families and friends together around the table. Now, with Good Ranchers doorstep delivery, you don't have to worry about getting it or going to the grocery store and standing in those lines. Worry about anything else. It doesn't matter. Just make sure you grill it good. Now, rather than spending time at the grocery store, like I said, it shows up right to your doorstep. Whether it's tacos we've used with the pork, just steaks in general, chicken that we've put in the crock pot that our wives have absolutely whipped up, Good Ranchers is the place to go. Now, here's the deal. If you subscribe to any Good Ranchers box today, you get your pick of free meat for life. Talking free Wagyu burgers, hot dogs, bacon, or chicken wings in every single box. And if you use our code BOOSTER, it's B-O-O-S-T-E-R, when you go to goodranchers.com, you're going to save an extra $40. So hit up goodranchers.com, use code BOOSTER for that $40 off, plus free meat for life. Let me say that again. Free meat for life. Head over to goodranchers.com. Welcome to the table, and welcome to the team.
At Sierra, discover top workout gear at incredible prices, which might lead to another discovery. Your headphones haven't been connected this whole time. Awkward. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
Weird. Keep it weird.
Yeah, Buckeyes. Buckeyes. Off the week before, a bye week before they go to Washington. Now, remember last year with this expanded Big Ten, teams that had to go multiple time zones, I can't remember exactly what the record was, but at one point it was like 4-16 or something. Like, there were a lot of losses for programs that had to go multiple time zones. To me, that's not going to affect the Buckeyes. A bye week the week before, and like you said, Washington's going to be coming off a trip to Washington State. That's always a rivalry game. I don't care if the Pac-12 has collapsed or whatever. Buckeyes win.
First true road test for Ohio State. I think
Julian's saying.
So I think going to be close. I think this game ends up being 27-24.
What? Ohio State. That tight?
Yep.
Damn, coming off a bye week?
Yep.
All right, so we all three have Ohio State at 4-0. Then they come back home.
No, we don't.
Excuse me, you have them.
Get it right.
Sorry.
Yeah, Texas.
The Vodkies in this one, sweetie.
Yeah.
You have them at 3-1. We have them at 4-0. Then they come back home to face PJ Fleck.
Row the boat.
Look, you can row that boat as fast as you want, but if you're on the beach, it ain't going anywhere. They're going to play Minnesota at home. Look, I actually respect what PJ Fleck's done at Minnesota.
Yeah,
me too. You know, it hasn't been amazing, but he's made them relevant.
There's stability.
Yeah. It's the athleticism overall. I don't think Minnesota has enough people in the state of Minnesota to cover the guys that Ohio State has at wide receiver. I feel like it's a big game for Julian Sain. I think he throws for over 350. I don't think Minnesota is able to. They're going to have to play ball control and limit possessions. This game is somewhat similar in style to what I think we're going to get from Missouri-Alabama a little bit, as we talked about on Monday, as far as, you know, Minnesota trying to limit the possessions that Ohio State has, make the game ugly, make it low scoring. You're probably hoping for bad weather. I just like Ohio State in this one to move on and be 5-0.
Yep. Win next.
Yeah, I don't think PJ Fleck gets enough credit for what he's done at Minnesota, just from just you know what you're going to get with him. I think they're going
to come
out.
Is he cringy to you?
No, not really. Not to me.
Okay.
I think you just can see two programs on completely different levels.
Yeah.
Right.
There really ain't a lot that – there ain't a lot of play calls in the bag for Minnesota.
But if they call enough trick plays, maybe.
Yeah, go ahead and do that. See how that works out for you. All right, the next week.
Woo.
Now this one, fellas, a lot of people are high on Illinois. I'm talking about
Luke.
First row at a Post Malone concert high on Illinois. On the road, Brett Bielema, who's trying to be the Lane Kiffin of the Big Ten. A lot of people will have Illinois winning this game. They'll have Illinois winning this game. I love me some Luke Altmyer. There's a couple pieces I like that Illinois has. Kind of just like their demeanor as a team. But why do a lot of people have Illinois as a legitimate playoff threat? Why is that?
Their schedule.
The schedule. Not because of how amazingly talented they are.
And they're good players. You didn't let me finish.
Oh, excuse me. Excuse me. Hindsight's 20/20. I think Ohio State's going to be gassed up for this one. I think going to be rolling into this one 5-0. They're going to take Illinois incredibly seriously. I think Illinois, who if they lose to Indiana on the road 3 weeks before this, you're going to have to probably win this game. Because I don't know if 10-2 Illinois gets in compared to some other teams with this schedule, right? Not a knock on the Big Ten. It's just it is what it is. You look at the non-conference, they got Duke. You know, somebody you're going to just murder in week one and then Western Michigan. I feel like Illinois presses in this game. I think Ohio State goes in there confident. I've got Ohio State starting out 6-0, big win on the road at Illinois and getting ready to go up and jump around up there in Madison, Wisconsin next weekend.
So you said a lot of people will have Illinois winning this game.
Are you one of them?
I'm one of them.
Oh,
give me Illinois, the Fighting Illini.
Really?
Brett Bielema, Luke Altmyer. Here's the thing. Brett Bielema has been telling everybody, hey, we're here to play. Like, we're a serious contender. This isn't a top-heavy league. Prove it to me. Prove it to me. This is the best roster you've had in a long, long time. And guess what? You get them at home. And that may not mean a lot because they're really, really good, but it's better than having to go into Columbus. You get them at home. Prove it to me. Let me really see it. I've got the Illinois winning this game 5-1 right now on my schedule.
What do you think the score needs to be for Illinois to win?
I'm thinking 56 to...
I feel like it's got to be low scoring.
For sure. 24-23.
Yeah, I think this is going to
be... by a point.
I think this is going to be a rock fight, for sure. I mean, Brett Bielema is a guy to me that he might only hit it 270, but he hits every single damn fairway when he gets up in the tee box. Like, you know what Illinois is. They want to run the ball. They're going to lean on Luke. They're going to play solid defense. I just think in these type of games, right, this is when the Jeremiah Smith and the Caleb Downs show the difference, right? While we're Ohio State and you're Illinois. They don't have cats running around out there like that. Jeremiah Smith, I think, huge game. Close, maybe a 24-20, 27-20, but I think Ohio State pulls this out on the road.
Okay, so I'm the only one that has Ohio State at 6-0 at this point. You have them 5-1. You have them 5-1. You have them losing to Texas. You have them losing to Illinois. The next week, you go up to Madison, Wisconsin to face Luke Fickell and then Badgers. If you ever seen the movie we were in, David Cohn isn't exactly a fan of Badgers.
Loves them.
Especially going to their place.
Loves it.
I'm going to make this one pretty simple. I don't think Wisconsin's got enough.
Nope.
I just don't think they have enough. Now, could there be a little bit of a letdown for Ohio State after if it goes the way I think, having a big win on the road against Illinois, especially if Illinois beats Indiana, that'll be looked at as an even bigger win. But I think Ohio State could play their B game and Wisconsin could play their A game, and Ohio State still beat them.
And look, Wisconsin's going to give this game everything they have. Remember, Luke Fickell is a Buckeye. Luke Fickell was the interim head coach for the Buckeyes in 2011. Like, he's going to take this game personally. He wants to beat them, especially. You're getting to host them, Camp Randall, jump around. I just agree with you. Show it to me first. Show it to me first so that I can come on here on a prediction preview and pick you next time.
I mean, the environment's going to be absolutely
It's going to be nuts. They know how to
insane,
do it.
Insane, especially if it's going to be a night game. Camp Randall, everybody's jumped around. I think this game's going to be really close until it starts.
Until it starts.
I really think so. It's going to be so close, then it's going to start. I think Ohio State just mops the floor.
Yeah, I'm sure Wisconsin fans are going to love that. All right, so we all have them beating Wisconsin.
Here we go.
Then, okay. Now we're going to play a game of let's get weird. So Ohio State gets a bye week. Penn State
gets a bye week. Yep.
And then we have Penn State going to the Shoe to play Ohio State. And this is the, I mean, we talk about James Franklin getting over that hump, man. We talk about it all the time. Can they do it? You got Drew Aller coming back. In a sea of college football with not a lot of returning quarterbacks at big brands, you really, really like the roster that you have this year.
I mean, you have two of the best backs.
You have two of the best. You bring back Singleton. You bring back Allen. You know, you feel good about yourself up front. But I'm going to say the same thing about this game as I said about Auburn not beating Alabama, at least in my mind this year, is why? Why should I pick Penn State to go on the road and beat Ohio State when they can't shake these guys, man? It's like syphilis in the 1800s. You ain't getting rid of it, dog. And until you do, I'm not going to believe you. So you can talk about the roster and Penn State being pissed off or whatever, but it's not like Ohio State sucks. And by this point, Julian Sayin's probably going to have figured this thing out. A massive game, a game that we had on our most consequential of who's going to make the college or win the Big Ten, make the college football playoff. I don't believe it until I see it. To your point, Ohio State at home. Same questions about James Franklin after this. Same old story. Run it back one more time. Give me the Buckeyes.
Man, I can't wait for this game. I really can't. But I'm going to take the Buckeyes at home. And I just think in a way that where my gut said, hey, go with Illinois. They're hosting the Buckeyes. I think Luke Altmyer can finish that game in a way that I need to see Drew Aller still do that. And I think Penn State's going to be really good, man. I think they're going to be really good at almost every position on the field. This is one that, just like you said, man, we've all got this one penciled. Like, show us that you can go on the road to Columbus and win this football game.
Got to prove it to me. I'm the same boat as y'all. And the game's at Ohio State.
If it was at Penn State.
Would you still pull the trigger?
I would be about as damn near close to 50-50 mm-hmm. with a chance to pull it.
If it were in Happy Valley, I think I would take Penn State.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
I'd feel more comfortable.
Yeah, but it's not.
But it's not. All right, so we have Penn State winning that. All right, guys, the next three games. Okay, I just want to see if there's any dissent here. You go on the road to Purdue. That should be a win. You agree?
Yes.
You got
Nico.
You got Nico and UCLA at home. Sorry, Deshaun Foster. Just this is me not believing.
If Nico's still playing by that time.
Yeah, if Nico's still playing by that time. Then you get Rutgers at home.
We love Rutgers.
Greg Schiano. But again, the most important game Rutgers ever played was like the first one against Princeton. They hadn't played an important one since that. So I'm going to have Ohio State winning those three games in a row. Can we get in the world?
Yeah, I can head a little bit here. I'm behind that.
That next one, though.
All right. Here we go. And I want you to go last.
I'll go last.
You played at Michigan. I want you to go last. Blaine.
Yeah.
On the road, how many has it been in a row? Four. Michigan has beaten Ohio State four times in a row. You don't wear it over your shoulder, but this one's purse, bro.
Yeah.
Look, what do you got at Michigan?
Look, won't do it. Won't do it.
Couple things here.
One, a couple.
David, love you, man.
Okay. Well, I know where this one's
going. See, he's just setting that up to Dent.
Love you.
Yeah,
Harvey Dent.
Yeah.
Two, huge Wink Martindale fan. Huge. Loves watching golf on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out, good. Shout out to the boys. All right. This year, where's this game at?
Big House.
It's in the Big House, right? What did Michigan do last year? They went to Columbus and beat the national champion. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so now Ohio State has to go to the Big House and beat, in my opinion, it's going to be a really good Michigan team. We'll see about Bryce, but they're going to be solid, and Wink's got a number for him. And there's something about Ryan Day, right? Every time he just goes to the bathroom and turns the light on, right, Sharon Moore's just sitting there right behind him.
Physically or just mentally, like Bloody Marys?
Physically and spiritually.
Okay.
Right?
But, wow.
But at the end of the day, I'm going with the Buckeyes.
Okay.
Huge win in the Big House. Bryce is not ready yet.
Yeah.
He's not ready yet. Close, Dave. It's going to be close, right? Too much firepower for Ohio State. Too much. Give me that. Give me that.
Yeah, give him his flag. Plant your flag.
Come on,
now,
baby.
Boy.
Oh, H. I'm not going to celebrate it. That's rude.
All right. You bring up great points. And I will say, if you're Ohio State, there would be nothing sweeter. You want to talk about like getting back on track and really hurting Michigan like the most? To go on the road and do it. You know, doing it at home is one thing, but to go on the road and do it. And they literally took a flag walked into your trap, took over your trap, and planted it in the middle after beating. You know, it's one thing to get in a fight in the street and get beat up. Sucks. It's another thing to get in a fight on your street with your wife and kids watching, and you get beat up. And that's what happened to him last year. So I think Ohio State's going to be incredibly, I mean, they're going to be fired up anyways. One of the biggest rivalry games we have. But they want to go over there and take it. So my pick is the Michigan Wolverines.
No way! Yes! He knows.
You said
he knows
that
ball,
up.
Son.
And
really?
The reason is, I think at this point, if you're Ohio State, you're 11-0. That's what I got you. You're in the Big Ten championship, most likely with that win over Penn State. Right? You don't get Oregon, but we'll see.
You think Ohio State should rest some
not,
guys?
Not, yeah. I'm not saying rest, guys. That's not what I'm saying. But your bet is already made. Mm-hmm. I think for Michigan, and we're going to get to our Michigan preview, this one may be worth a little bit more for postseason aspirations. And I think this starts the legend, truly the legend, of Bryce Underwood being the chosen one for the next 2 years after this. And there's just something about Michigan. If they can beat you with basically me at quarterback on the road last year, then I think with this team they have at home, I think Michigan makes it 5 in a row.
Mm. If the Buckeyes had beaten Michigan a year ago, I would be sitting here saying, okay, I see what's going on. I see what happened. Urban Meyer owned Jim Harbaugh. Mm-hmm. Urban Meyer left. Jim Harbaugh cracked the code. Jim Harbaugh solved the puzzle. Remember, we sat here and we said Jim Harbaugh's quote was, we're either going to beat him or we're going to die trying. And we kind of all laughed about that. And then he won 3 in a row, 3 Big Tens in a row, a national championship. And then he went to the NFL. The Buckeyes had beaten Michigan a year ago. I'd say, okay, Jim Harbaugh cracked that code, but he's gone. Sharon Moore's in now. Down year last year, Buckeyes won. Maybe they just get back to dominating Michigan the way that I've known for the past decade that ruined every Thanksgiving of my life. But that's not what happened a year ago. This was the best offense in the country. This was supposed to be the $20 million roster, best team we've ever seen. Michigan threw for 60 yards, and they beat you at your place. I played there. That place is impossible to win. They beat you in Columbus with throwing for 60 yards, 13-10. It was a Wink Martindale game. It was a we want this more than you game. And now you get them in the Big House after they won the national championship and sent 14 players to the NFL. I get it. They reload. They're going to have great players running around all over the field. But really, I think the Buckeyes should be thanking Michigan for beating them to create that fire under their butts to send them on that postseason run they had a year ago. Then all the wanting to make it a felony for flag planting and coming up and saying, well, that rivalry doesn't mean anything anymore. All that really matters is the national championship. That is soft to me. I don't think it's all Buckeyes fans. I think there's a lot of them who are going to be watching this prediction preview right here saying, yeah, no, it means a lot to us to beat Michigan. We want to get back to tasting that every single year. Right now, as we sit here, though, I got to check Michigan.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, at the end of the day, regardless of the way it works out, I'm actually more interested to see that what this game means from a postseason standpoint for Michigan when we go through their schedule, because I think Ohio State can win it again this year. I really believe that. And it's not a, you know, I've got no skin in the game when it comes to Ohio State and Michigan. This is just a gut feeling I have at home, because I think sometimes when you want something so bad, like Ohio State will at this point, to check that box and then go off, try and win the Natty and make it a perfect season and all this, you can kind of overplay a little bit. I think that may be what happens in this game at Michigan, where Ohio State wants it so bad. They want it so bad that they press a little bit. They overplay, and Michigan, and there's some mistakes there, right? Trying to do too much. I think Ohio State did that last year.
I think
you can do it multiple
tried
times.
Tried to beat Michigan. Like the way Michigan beats people. Right.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're going to do the same thing this year. I think they're going to play their personnel. They're going to play their strategy. They're going to play the guys they know how to play with and how they play football and said, hey, you know what? We want to beat them how they beat people. We want to out-tough you. I'm sorry. You're not going to out-tough Michigan. Those guys are impossible to out-tough. I really think that. But you have to finesse your way to beat Michigan. Right, you have to peel back the layers first, and then you can hit them.
And that's not soft; it's smart.
That's what Texas did.
Again, though, right? When is that game, though?
True.
November 29th. True. Yeah. How many times have we seen in the last couple of years snow fall? And that's why in the Big Ten, late in November, it's a different strategy. It's a different mindset of football, man. And that's where being built to beat you at the end of November under the sky, all right, is a lot different than, well, let's just go play a postseason game on a neutral site and let's just see who's faster, right? That's football to me.
Yeah. Well, we want to know again in the comments, what do you guys think? What is Ohio State, the defending national champions, regular season record's going to be? And again, you can put whether they're going to win it all or not, win the Big Ten, have a Heisman winner or whatever. We just appreciate you guys joining us. If you're not subscribed, go ahead and hit that subscribe button, whether you agree or disagree, because if we all agreed on everything all the time, God, this would be so damn boring, right? So let us know in the comments what you think. Got another great prediction show for you tomorrow as we are barreling toward college football season. Under 3 weeks, baby, until kickoff. And like the chances of me not being excited to just see what Penn State can do, too, in the Big Ten. We're going.
Let's catch.
Gone.